Hello and welcome to today's VJ Hemonk podcast. We are a global open access video journal bringing you the latest in hematological oncology. This podcast series will feature selected sessions from the 16th International Workshop on Multiple Myeloma, which was held in Madrid, Spain. In this session, you will hear from Gareth Morgan, Peter Sonneveld, and Sagar Lonial, who discuss the possibility of reaching cure in multiple myeloma and further highlight concepts that need to be addressed.
Hello, my name's Gareth Morgan. I am a professor of hematology in New York City. I'm here today in the International Workshop on Multiple Myeloma 2023 with my good friends and colleagues, Dr. Sagar Lonial from Emory and Dr. Peter Sonneveld from Rotterdam. Guys, we've just had a really good debate about the role of cure in multiple myeloma. And perhaps we'll start with you, Sagar. What do you think are the concepts we have to address to really deliver this as an idea for patients?
Well, I think one of the things we have to really embrace is the idea of not sort of doing the same old thing that we've done for years, which is induction, consolidation, and maintenance. I think we have to think about different ways to get limited duration therapy, use all of our targets, almost like they do in ALL, where they bundle a lot of therapy in a short duration, and think about stopping therapy so that we don't get a high risk of infections chronically over the lifetime of a given patient.
And so from your perspective, Peter, I think you presented a sort of practical way of how we can move forward in this area. Could you just tell us about that?
Yeah, well, so like Dr. Lonial was saying, we use the same concept of treatment now more or less like 10 years ago, or maybe even 20 years ago. And in the meantime, we look at endpoints that reflect the whole treatment, not parts of the treatment so much. Mm-hmm. We need to know what each element in the treatment really brings to the patient. And I think we are trying to do that in EMN, European Myeloma Network, by focusing some trials on improving induction, some trials to challenge the role of autologous transplant, and others to look at maintenance more specifically with the newer agent.
So what strategies should we use? I kind of notice you made some kind of strong analogies to alternating treatments over time to overcome resistance. What do you think of that?
Well, I think the idea of hitting the tumor pretty hard and then letting go and then hitting with a different target, that to me is a way to potentially get around some of the things we're seeing, like BCMA receptor mutations or loss of BCMA because of continuous suppression. I think if you're hitting with different targets in a short period of time, you never really give the tumor a chance to get a good foothold or develop resistant clones. That to me is a concept that we've not employed to date.
So do you think you could achieve the same thing by having a CAR-T that recognized two epitopes instead of one epitope?
Yeah, it could be. An alternative is to focus on two or more epitopes by using different drugs.
It's exactly the same concept.
Yeah, it's the same. So using CAR-T for BCMA and maybe talquetamab or other agents for other targets on the myeloma cell. My main point here would also be, do we know whether we can use the novel agents like CAR-T or bispecifics in the perfect way? And one eye-opener for me was the Cassiopeia trial, where we had daratumumab for induction, but also for maintenance. Mm-hmm. And it came out in the analysis that if patients had received dara for induction and consolidation, giving it in maintenance did not any extra effect. And patients that did not have dara up front could be rescued by getting dara during maintenance. So this tells us something about where do you position the new agents? Do you need to continue with the same treatment over and over, like Dr. Lonial was explained? Or should we, dissect the treatment in smaller parts, alternating treatments, alternating targets, and carefully monitoring each part of that treatment by novel techniques. And I mean not only response or MRD, but also looking at molecular evidence of refractory cells.
I think we should mention that there were some issues about the dosing used in the Cassiopeia during the maintenance phase. So the whether or not you can rescue people in that fashion, I think, still a little bit open to debate. But what do you think about like response-adapted therapy? Because you, I think you both make a very strong case for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think response-adapted therapy is a good way to think about, in the long term, about discontinuation and shorter durations of therapy. What makes me, and if you're not getting a deep enough response, thinking about intensifying therapy, what makes me a little uncomfortable is, at least, and we see this in the U.S., people are sort of settling for a deep response early on and then discontinuing therapy without knowing whether or not that's going to be sustained.
It's really, really important not to just stop treatment. There's plenty of data that says you need to go on.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and I think the big part of the evidence comes from the MAIA trial. I mean, this was really, like I said, an eye-opener for me, that by just continuing LEN after the DARA RD, you could achieve 5 years of PFS in these elderly patients, which was unprecedented.
No, it is unprecedented. I mean, they're doing remarkably well. The issue I face in the clinic is, when do you stop maintenance? And how do you judge quality of life, hospital visits, infection versus duration? So what do you think of that? What approach do you take?
Well, it's an important issue because we have to advise the patient. Mm-hmm. And patient maybe decide for themselves because of, let's say, tolerance, side effects, and so mm-hmm. on. But in many cases, they just decide to stop because some feeling about not taking the pills anymore, really? And so on. But for me, it's difficult to present really great evidence what is better. Mm-hmm. And the ongoing discussion for LEN maintenance, for example, in the transplant eligible, with the determination trial and the FRENCH trial mm-hmm. and the EMN trial, it's still not decided. After 10 years or more, we still don't know what's the optimal duration of maintenance.
Yeah, you know, I think this is an important question, and we certainly are on the long side of continuing mm-hmm. LEN maintenance for as long as, I say, until progression or toxicity. And in year 4 and year 5 and year 7, I've got somebody who's been on for 12 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you see them, you say, how are you doing? Do you feel like this is limiting your quality of life? And if the answer is yes, then it's a dose reduction or talk about discontinuation of therapy. But I think with drugs like LEN and POM, you almost do have to continue therapy in order to suppress the clone. I'm hopeful that the new CELMoDs may not be that way, that you can give limited duration because they're cytotoxic, not cytostatic, mm-hmm. and on the backbone of T-cell engagers where you may get much deeper responses than we get with, say, an autotransplant followed by 3 cycles of DARA-RVD, you might be able to discontinue sooner, and I think that would be the advantage of multiple combinations.
Yeah, on the other hand, if myeloma is really a chronic disease, and we might not eradicate the final small number of cells, we have to continue. And then if CELMoDs are more effective and less toxic, then I'm in favor of continuation.
So we started this debate discussing cure for patients with myeloma. I believe we're getting to that time, and I actually believe a percentage of people are cured already. So, Peter, you described some interesting studies. How do you think the next 10 years is going to play out in, you know, will we still be doing autologous stem cell transplant in 10 years' time?
Well, our estimate is that CAR T cells will be as effective, if not more, than high-dose melphalan and autologous transplant. So I think we will not use autologous transplant in the frontline setting, but we may still use it at a relapse or later setting of the disease if needed. But I think it has been the standard for 20 years now, and it's time to reconsider.
Saka, yeah. How do you think the next 10 years plays out?
I think we're going to be obviously more dependent on the immune mechanisms with T-cell engagers and CAR T-cells. I think CAR T may replace transplant, but you got to do something on the back end. I don't think that induction and then a CAR is going to be sufficient to give you long-term disease control. because I do think persistence is a big issue, and the persistence of a CAR in myeloma is pretty short. And so I think that's going to be the biggest challenge.
Yeah, and of course, we need to also treat those patients with an IMiD or a CELMoD. I mean, it's such an important element of the treatment. Just leaving out maintenance is no option.
So you've heard it here from the international workshop from two of the best investigators in the world. Cure is on the horizon, and it's a future that patients should look forward to, because we're already seeing much, much better outcomes than we used to in the past. So thank you so much for your attention, and speak to you again.
Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. We hope you enjoyed. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @VJHemonk and subscribe to VJHemonk Podcasts on Spotify, Apple, and Podbean. Until next time. Thank you.